Turn to Proverbs 7 and verse 17. I'm going to cover a few more verses in the Proverbs tonight, Lord willing. We're still talking about the strange woman. And last time, you'll remember, she began to speak to the young man. And she was telling him about her bed. And she said there in verse 16, "I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt." And now she says in verse 17, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. So let's look at that first part there. I've perfumed my bed. So she'd talked about in the previous verse, as I just said, how her bed looked nice. And now she's going to talk about how it smells nice. To perfume means to fill or impregnate with the smoke or vapor of some burning substance, of incense or other substance emitting an agreeable odor. It's to impregnate with sweet odor, to impart a sweet scent to. So when you perfume something, you fill the room with a sweet odor, obviously. Now it's interesting that perfuming something is not wrong. Right? It's not when she says, "I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon," that act, there's something wrong with that. She is a strange woman, and she's an evil woman, but just because she did this doesn't make it evil. Because God himself ordained that sweet-smelling perfume would be made for the tabernacle. He said in Exodus 30 and verses 34 through 36, he gave this instruction to Moses that he was to make this perfume for the tabernacle. Exodus 30, 34 through 36. It says, And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take unto thee sweet spices." I'm not sure how you pronounce that. I think it's stacked, or maybe stacty. I don't know. "Stacked, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy." So these spices here, there were four of them, were to be made together into a perfume, and beat very small. So this tells me it's some kind of a powder. Probably maybe an incense. Could be an incense because they were to burn incense. And as we'll read the definitions here, some of these even talk about them being burning. When they're burnt, they emit an aroma. So stacked is a fragrant spice referred to by ancient writers, properly the finest kind of myrrh, the exudation of the living tree. Now the strange woman said that she decked her bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. So stacked, if that's how you pronounce that, and myrrh, or stacked is a type of myrrh, the finest kind of myrrh. So at least some of these things, there is some overlap in the perfume that she's using and the perfume that God had ordained, and I'll talk about that in a second. Then you have onycha. Onycha is one of the ingredients in the incense used in the Mosaic ritual. The operculum of a species of strombus or other marine mollusk, which emits a penetrating aroma when burnt. And a mollusk is like a mussel or a clam or something like that. So apparently, you take this animal and probably dry it out and beat it into a powder and burn it or something, and it makes a nice aroma, which is interesting. But I could be wrong on this, but I think purple also comes from the sea. When they made the purple garment, like Lydia was a seller of purple, that purple dye that they dyed clothes with and fabrics with, I think that comes from a sea creature too, if I remember right. It's very rare and very expensive. And then Moses was to use galbanum. Galbanum is a gum resin obtained from certain Persian species of ferula, especially from galbanaflua and rubricalis. Now, I knew galbanum came from galbanaflua. I didn't know about rubricalis, but actually, I'm just making that up. I'd never heard of any of those words prior to looking them up in the dictionary. But I want you to notice that that was a resin. So galbanum is a resin, and we'll have reason to make reference to that again here in a second. And then we have frankincense. This is the fourth spice that Moses was to make this perfume for the tabernacle for. Frankincense is an aromatic gum resin yielded by trees of the genus Boswellia, used for burning as incense. Oblabanum, occasionally the smoke from the same. We're all familiar with frankincense, if not personally familiar. We've all heard of it because, why have we heard of it?
Christmas.
Yes, because, yep, because the wise men brought to Christ myrrh, frankincense, and gold. Yes. Frankincense is also a essential oil and quite costly, and people use it. I mean, they use it today for various things. I don't know if I've ever smelled it or not.
Yes.
I can't. Have I? Okay. Did I like it?
No.
Okay. I can't remember even smelling it. So
in the bathroom.
It must not have made a good impression on me.
I have some at home, and I use it. It looks like a little tiny rock.
Oh.
And you heat it over a candle flame, and it does naturally burn, but it turns black.
Mm.
And I love the smell of it, and it seems to help my sinuses.
Mm. Mm. Oh, that's interesting. Now, it's possible, I can't prove this, but it's possible the strange woman might very well have been trying to sanctify her filthy bed by perfuming it in imitation of the perfuming of the tabernacle of old. Because after all, she is a religious woman, right? She has peace offerings with her this day she'd paid her vows. Now, she wasn't using the same ingredients as Moses, not all of them anyway, but she was using myrrh and aloes are resins, so there is some similarity, and I'll define aloe here in a minute and show you that it's a resin, and some of these other things that Moses was using were resins as well. So there was a little bit of similarity there anyway. If she was trying to imitate what Moses was supposed to do in the temple, then she's going to be in bigger trouble than she's already in. Because if you look in verse 37, if you didn't turn from it, in Exodus 30 and verses 37 and 38, the Lord continues here. He says, "And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people." And we know being cut off from his people means to be killed or put to death. So that was a serious offense. That was a big deal. You didn't look up the ingredients that Moses used to make his perfume and make your wife some, because you're going to be put to death for that. The Lord, he likes the holy and the profane kept separate. You don't use holy things for profane things. Profane meaning non-religious. Now, smells have a strong effect on a man's mood, or in people's moods in general, and it is true that perfume rejoices the heart. If you look in Proverbs 27 and verse 9, certain perfumes rejoice the heart anyway. Certain perfumes are offensive to the nose, at least to my nose, and especially when they're put on way too heavily. There's, you know, I'm sure we've all probably walked within 100 yards of a woman where we thought we had to have a gas mask on if you were downwind from her. Or a man, for that matter. Men are just as guilty of it sometimes. I mean, I've seen men just pile it on. Like, I don't know who they're trying to attract.
Because I get allergic reactions to them. I had to leave work once.
Oh, yeah.
He came in wearing such...
Oh, yeah.
Like, my eyes were swollen shut by the time
really?
I got home.
Oh, my. Yeah.
But don't you think that back then, these were so much more wholesome and real... And this stuff that everybody's, you know, sneezing and getting stuffed up from now is just because it's the junk we have now.
Yeah.
No, that this stuff was really very smeller friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably is the case. And it would have been extremely expensive, so you weren't putting 10 pumps on, and probably not anyway. But in Proverbs 27 and verse 9, says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Ointment and perfume, both, they both put off a nice aroma, a nice odor, and they do make people happy. So this is probably why the young, or why the woman is trying to use this to entice the young man, because there is something about a good-smelling woman. Then she says she has perfumed her bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. So let's look at those three things. Myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. These are all spices which women use to attract men, and I can actually prove this to you in the Bible. Look at Song of Solomon 4 and verse 14. And of course, there's nothing wrong with a woman using these spices to attract a man, if it's her husband, or if she's single and he's single, or something like that. The problem is not the spices that are used, it is who is using them for whom. That's the problem. And that's the case usually with most things in the Bible. It's not normally what is done, it's who is doing it and to whom it is being done.
What the purpose of the person is.
And what the motivation is, yes, that also comes into play. Sorry about that. There we go. I just killed an ant and then flicked it onto her Bible, so instead of mine. Okay, anyway. Song of Solomon 4:14. So this is Solomon's love letter back and forth with his wife, one of them anyway, one of the wives, that is. And so then this is speaking of her, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, and all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. So this is what his wife is perfuming herself with. And if you'll notice, all of the things that the strange woman is using, she's using myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon, and other ones as well. So myrrh is a gum resin produced by several species of... I'm just going to skip those. It is myrrh used for perfumery and as an ingredient in incense. Also, medicinal uses in medicinal use is the tincture made from this. And then the dictionary... a lot of times it was definitely heavily influenced by the Bible. It says an early use almost always with reference to the offering of myrrh by the Magi of our Lord. Magi were the wise men.
To our Lord.
To our Lord, yes. Myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Aloe is not like aloe vera plant. That's what I normally think of when I think of aloe, but that's not what aloe is here. Aloe is the fragrant resin or wood of the agaloc, derived from species of two East Indian genera. And then it gives us a couple of scientific words there, naming those two species. So this is actually a type of, apparently, tree. Comes from a tree, comes from wood. So probably not the aloe plant that we think of. And then cinnamon. Cinnamon is the inner bark of an East India tree, dried in the sun in rolls or quills. We've all seen those before. Mm-hmm. And used as a spice. It is of a characteristic yellowish-brown color, brittle, fragrant, and aromatic, and acts as a carminative and restorative. So this one is edible and...
fragrant.
What's the
medicinal?
Well, no, where you can smell it.
Fragrant.
Edible.
Oh.
Fragrant. There's another word I was thinking of.
Potent.
No. Arable. Arable would be the ear. Visible is the eye.
Odoriferous. Smellable.
Yeah, smellable, but that's not... I was thinking of something more sophisticated than that, but anyway. But, so anyway, you can eat it or smell it is what I was trying to say. Now, myrrh is a perfuming spice that's fit for kings. So this is some pretty special stuff. If you look in Song of Solomon 3, 6 through 7, this is speaking of King Solomon here. It says, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. So Solomon's bed probably smelled like myrrh, because he smelled like myrrh. He perfumed himself with myrrh, and wouldn't surprise me if he perfumed his bed with it as well. Nothing wrong with perfuming your bed with myrrh. Just this woman's up to some evil designs doing it. Look in Matthew 2, verse 2. Myrrh is a spice suitable for kings. This is why the wise men gave it to our Lord, who was the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Matthew 2 and verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And here's what they bring to him in verse 11. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." So this would have been a very costly perfume, I assume. Gold certainly is costly, and frankincense, and I assume myrrh is the same way, fit for a king. So these are expensive spices, and they would help to deceive the young man into thinking that this woman's not a trashy, cheap woman, but an affluent woman of means. Because after all, she's got myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon that she's perfumed her bed with, and it's carved up. It's got this really nice, ornate bedposts that have all this, skillfully crafted carvings on them, and it's adorned with tapestry and carved works and fine linen of Egypt and all these things. She really is making herself look like she is a classy woman. He apparently doesn't know otherwise yet, but he should be figuring it out very quickly. Now, I mentioned this last time, but there's actually some horrors. If you turn to Ezekiel 16:31, some of them actually try to buy men with gifts, or in this case, luxurious accommodations. I've read it to you last time, but I'll read it to you again. Ezekiel 16:31-33. This is basically exactly what this woman's doing. "In that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been an harlot, in that thou scornest hire." She's not asking to get paid. "But as a wife that committeth adultery, that taketh strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores, but thou giveth gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom." This is pretty much what this woman's doing here. She's trying to buy him. If not with money, but she's trying to buy him. She's got peace offerings with her. She's got some food. She's got a really nice bed, and it smells nice, and it looks beautiful. Right, so she's really trying to entice him with her means here. And the very thought of an ornately adorned bed perfumed with sweet aroma would be very appealing to a lot of men. Right, so she's really turning up the tantalization here to try to get him to come in. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.